He still was a source of my strength. He was still my rock in a weary land. He still was my bridge over troubled water. Even when I was not acknowledging him, he still had my back. He still was watching over me. Y'all don't hear me. Even when I wasn't acknowledging him or praising him or definitely not obeying him, he still kept me. He still watches over me. So now, as Minister Thurman just prayed, now that I am saved, how dare me not thank him and worship him and praise him and lift up my holy hands to him, because he is indeed my sustainer. He is the strength of my life. Without the Lord, I couldn't make it. I mean, that's a horrific thought. I don't even want to think that thought without Jesus in my life, without the Holy Spirit being in me. My life would be a mess. It would be a wreck. And so would yours. But thank God for his grace and his mercy and his goodness that he saw fit even before the foundations of the world. He said, I'm going to have a relationship with him and with her and with him and her. And so we thank the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalms 24, that the King of glory shall come in. And who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I'm glad to say this morning that we indeed serve the King of glory. We're in the right faith. We're in the right religion. Matter of fact, Christianity is not really even a religion. It's really a relationship with God. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints of old used to say it this way. They didn't go to seminary school or none of that. But they say, oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. God is a good God. I'm going to ask you to stand with us this morning as we preach this. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, by the way, again. Happy New Year. Once again, 2017. Boy, it seems as though the older I get, I think time speeds up. Can't quite figure that out, but seems though time, these years just whiz by. So we need to indeed maximize each day as unto the Lord. Because these years are getting away from us. And plus, he's coming back again one day. Who knows? It may be this year. I don't know. It may be 2017. I don't know. But the Lord is coming back one day. Psalms 1. Pretty familiar passage of scripture. This first day of the new year. This first Sunday. A good New Year's reminder. Psalms 1. Says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, the blessed man, her delight, the blessed woman, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in God's law, he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked or the way of the ungodly shall perish. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. I'm going to preach for a few minutes from this thought this morning. In 2017, no more mess, but just blessed. No more mess, but just blessed. You may be seated. In 2017, no more mess, but just blessed. I've had you to do this little exercise before, but perhaps humor me and maybe do it again. If you're taking notes, draw two boxes. If you're taking notes, two little small boxes, big enough to get about five or six letter word in each box, two little boxes. And perhaps above one box, put 2016. And above the other box, put 2017. Put 2017. So 2016 and 2017. And inside that box that you drew that said 2016, write this four-letter word. M-E-S-S. Mess. Or under that, you can put S-I-N. But in 2016, mess. And if all of us would be honest this New Year's Day Sunday morning, in 2016, all of us got into some mess. All of us fell short of the glory of God. All of us sinned last year, 2016. But in 2017, write B-L-E-S-S-E-D, blessed. So in 2016, 2017, we want to operate more in the blessed realm rather than the mess realm. Now, even this word, let me just give you a definition of this word, blessed, real quickly, because inside of Christendom, we hear this word used a lot, and especially even on the aftermath of all the hype of the prosperity gospel and all of that. Typically, when people hear the word blessed, they think of materialistic things, they think of this, that, and the other, and so we almost run away from that word, but it's nothing wrong with wanting to be blessed by the Lord. Matter of fact, I like this definition. This is a good workable definition this morning of being blessed. Dr. John MacArthur described it this way, and I really like the way he described it. He speaks of being blessed as, listen to this, having a deep-seated joy and contentment in the Lord. Having a deep-seated joy and contentment in the Lord. You know, you can have all your stuff. You can have all the cars and houses and all that stuff. Just give me the joy of the Lord. Help me to be content in Jesus. Just give me the peace of the Lord. So when I'm talking about being blessed this morning, I'm talking about a deep-seated joy and a deep-seated contentment that comes from the Lord. As a group of believers here this morning, we can think of it as God's redemptive favor. If you're born again, you're blessed. I say, if you're born again, you are blessed. If you are the redeemed of God, you are blessed. What a blessing it is to have hell canceled and heaven guaranteed. You can't tell me that I'm not blessed. I'm blessed. I deserved hell, was on my way there going full speed, but God intercepted me. God interrupted my plans, and now I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. The Redeemer God, we are blessed. So maybe, saints, maybe 2016 was a pretty good year for you, and that's great. But this year, moving into 2017, ask the Lord that this year would be better than last year. Have a prayer this morning, this Sunday morning. Say, Lord, let me be closer to you this year than I was last year. Let me be more intimate with you this year than I was last year. Because it's easy, as Steve prayed earlier, as a Christian, all of us, when we first got saved, you have the zeal of the Lord, you're just so excited. But as we live this Christian journey, and life sometimes kind of sucks some of that out of you, it seems. You know, if you're not careful, you can become lukewarm. Now, I know y'all not guilty of this morning, but you can become lukewarm in your relationship toward the Lord. What more important, what more valuable relationship that you and I can have than a relationship with Jesus? If I'm right with Jesus, guess what? I'm going to be a better husband. If I'm right with Jesus, I'm going to be a better father. If I'm right with Jesus, I'm going to be a better pastor. If I'm right with Jesus, I'm going to be a better citizen here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If I'm right with Jesus, if I'm right with God, if I'm pursuing a close walk with Him, if I'm pursuing that blessed relationship and not much of a mess relationship. So the psalmist, this is like a great, kind of a great blueprint for the Christian to live by. Psalms 1. You ought to read it regularly. Psalms 1. It's what I call some low hanging fruit. It's just some basic things that if our young people as well as our older people catch hold of, it'll bless us the rest of our life. He starts out in verse 1 by just saying, blessed is the man, and the word man is used generically, meaning man or woman, but blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He makes it very simple, saints. He says, you or I, we can be blessed by just not taking the counsel of ungodly folks. Now, how many of us in here, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us in here are guilty of listening to some ungodly counsel and end up getting us into all kind of trouble? God said, you'll be blessed if you just don't listen to that ungodly counsel. Now, you know, ungodly counsel comes from different sources. It may come from a person you know, but oftentimes ungodly counsel just comes from the media that we listen to. The stuff we listen to on TV and on the radio all the time, ungodly counsel. Stuff like, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. That was an old song when way back in the day. Or even like Burger King. Burger King said, have it your way. All that stuff is ungodly counsel. You know, the Christian came and said, I'm just going to have it my way. The Christian came and said, this is my thing. This is my body. I can do whatever I want to do with my body. No, Christ, we just sang about him. We just commemorated the Lord's Supper. Christ said, I died for you. You know, salvation is free, but it's costly. We don't earn our salvation. It's a free gift from God. But guess what? Guess what? Once we give our life to Christ, we no longer own ourselves. We have a new King of Kings and a new Lord of Lords. We no longer own ourselves. So the Lord says you can be blessed. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot these down. You can be blessed by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. I remember one of the funniest things, well, it wasn't so funny then, but I remember when I was in, I think, the seventh grade, one of my friends, John Marsha Daniel, one of my little buddies, he had a meal card. And so, you know, you could eat free with the meal card. And I didn't have a meal card. And so on this particular day, I usually would bring my lunch. But on this particular day, I'm talking about listening to ungodly counsel. On this particular day, John Marshall Daniel said, well, I tell you what, I can make you a copy of my meal card. And I can white out my name and put your name on my meal card. Now, Sister Hardaway, you educated. That sounded pretty good to me at the time. That sounds pretty good, little thing. And Brother Kerry, I went on and got that little meal card and went on into the cafeteria, and they gave me the food, and man, I ate good. I said, man, that was a good deal. Ate free. Well, that was lunchtime. By midway through that next class, somebody knocks on the teacher's door. They call me out of class. I have to go to the principal office. And there in the principal office is the principal and John Marshall Daniel and now me. And so the principal basically had peeped out what we had done. And I promise you, I got one of the hardest whippings I have ever gotten. He had this big old paddle. That's back when you can paddle the students. He had this big old paddle. And he tore us up. And he said, don't y'all ever try anything like that again in my school. And we said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listening to ungodly counsel. At least got one free meal, though. But it wasn't worth the whipping. And I did get another one, by the way, when I got home. Because my mother, she was a school teacher. So I got two whippings for one meal. It wasn't that good. Listening to ungodly counsel. Ungodly counsel, Deacon Vizo, will mess you up every time. Man, I wish I had known that back then. I wish I had known that first then. So you can be blessed by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. Brother and Sister Brown, you can be blessed by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. You can be blessed by not hanging out. It's right there in the text in verse 1. You can be blessed by not hanging out with sinners and doing what they do. Make sure you write that all together. Not hanging out with sinners and doing what they do. Doing what they do. The emphasis on not doing what they do. Because, you know, as Christians, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. So we aren't to be monks and hermits and just in our little holy huddles and say, hey, we're not going to hang around anybody that's not a Christian. No, we ought to penetrate the culture. Because let's be honest, many of you, I'm sure, walk with people who are unsaved. We live in neighborhoods of people who are unsaved. We have family members who are unsaved. Sometimes in the church, there are people who are unsaved. So we're going to be around unsaved people. We're going to be around sinners. But let's don't do what they do. If you're around somebody who's cussing, don't you start cussing too. If you're around somebody, now y'all live in the real world. I don't like to hear it, but I hear profanity quite often as I transgress around people. If you're around somebody using profanity, don't you use it just because they're using it. If you're around people who are gossiping, don't you start gossiping just because they're gossiping. You know, but we'll be around these people, but don't let them, their lifestyle influence you adversely. But we are to try to penetrate them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at the progression in verse 1. He says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. First, they're walking there. Then they're standing there. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting with them. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He said, if you follow the wrong counsel, that's walking. If you follow the wrong counsel, then you will stand with the wrong companions and finally sit with the wrong crowd. Let me say that again. If you follow the wrong counsel, if you listen to the wrong stuff, and if you stand with the wrong companions, you're hanging around the wrong crowd, finally, you'll be sitting with the wrong crowd. It'll happen every time if you're not careful. I can give you illustration after illustration of my own life, especially in high school, where I found myself with the wrong crowd. And the next thing I know, I didn't necessarily want to do the wrong thing, but because I was with the wrong crowd, I ended up getting caught up in the wrong thing. So you can be blessed by just not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. You can be blessed by not doing what sinners do. You can be blessed by that. Verse 2 says, the blessed person, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, he meditates day and night. Here it is again, 2017. This is how you can be blessed. You can be blessed by getting your pleasure from reading, studying, meditating, and obeying the word of God. You know, in this Christian walk, we make things too complex. You know, if I want to know or you want to know how to grow more in 2017, spend more time with Jesus. Spend more time with God, with an open Bible, reading his word, obeying his word, hiding it in your heart, meditating on it, mulling over it, over and over. I mean, the word of God is so true, so clear. I want to encourage you this year. I know many of you last year read through the New Testament. This year, I know some people read through the Bible every year. And as you're reading, though, take your time and ask some questions of the text. And say questions like, as you read the word of God, questions like, what did I learn about God from this chapter that I didn't know before? Questions like, what adjustments in my life I need to make by what I just read? What things I need to correct? Perhaps what I just read. Are there some sins I need to confess or repent of from what I just read? Or maybe are there some promises that I can hold on to, some things I can claim, things like God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. So I want to hold on to that. Promises like he would provide all for all of my needs. I need to hold on to that. When the storms come, you got to remember he can give me peace in the midst of a storm. When the trials come, when the sorrows come, you got to remember I read somewhere in the word of God that he can give me joy even in the midst of my sorrows. So when we read the Bible, don't read it, beloved, as just some kind of intellectual exercise. Don't read it like some kind of math book or science book. This is the word of God. This book will transform you. If you got the Spirit of God inside of you and the word of God, it will transform your life. It will transform your thinking. Even just this morning, as I began to read through the Old Testament, I was reading in Genesis 1. I was just reading through Genesis 1. God was just speaking. Everything was happening. And in a very, very simple yet profound verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1. Let me paraphrase it. It basically said, God created him, male and female, God created them. Let me read that again. God created them. Male and female, God created them in his own image, right? Now, I thought about that just for a moment. I said, here we are, 2,000 years removed, and I'm not even talking about the culture. I'm not even talking about pagans. I'm not even talking about people who are unsaved. I'm talking about people inside the church. I'm talking about people inside the Christian church. We still having this foolish debate about people are born with one presupposition. I was born this way, but I thought I was that way, but I was born. Now Genesis 1:27, God said, I made him male and female in my image. I made them. Case closed. It's just simple. It's just simple. I mean, it just blows my mind how in the Christian church we get this simple stuff wrong. Now, I mean, a truth like that, we need to believe it. We need to hold on to it. And people who are confused about it, watch this. We need to pray for them. We need to minister to them. And we still need to love them. But we can tell them, you wrong. God didn't get that wrong. God made you a man. You're a man. If God made you a woman, you are a woman. I'm still throwing away Wheaties boxes from Bruce Jenner from years ago back in the 70s. Bruce Jenner on the Wheaties box. Now he's whoever he is, whatever. But you know, that's the world. They get it mixed up. But I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the church. I don't want to pick on any particular denomination, but it just blows my mind, even in the 90s, when certain denominations had these votes and they start ordaining gay priests, gay pastors. Let me move on. But you can be blessed by just staying in the Word of God and sticking with what the book says, sticking with what God says. That would clear up all kind of stuff. So let that be your delight, beloved. That should be our delight. The Word of God. And then he says, in the Word of God, he meditates. As I said last night, we don't have to be scared of certain words, but I understand why we do shy away from certain words. When the Bible talks about meditate and meditating, you know, don't get it confused with like the Buddhist monk or somebody who's over in the corner and doing all that stuff. You know, that's their stuff. But we can meditate on the Word of God by going over the Word of God in our mind. We are to meditate on God. Think on Him. Ponder Him. Think about who He is. Think about Him being omniscient. He's all-knowing. That's something to meditate on. Think about God being all-knowing. Think about God being all-powerful. That's something to meditate on. Think about God being omnipresent. That's something to meditate on. He's not only here today, but He's also over at Archinaw with Pastor Carlos. He's all over the place. He's in Arkansas. He's in California. He's all over. And He's in heaven. He is a God who is omnipresent. You need to meditate on that. You need to think on that. You need to ponder that and mull that over in your mind. I tell you what, it just blows my mind when I start thinking about the attributes of God. And not only that, He is my God. He is my Father. He is my daddy. My earthly dad is in heaven now, but I still got a heavenly Father. So we ought to meditate on that. So you can be blessed by just reading, studying, applying, believing the Word of God. Then, as I mentioned earlier, when you read the Word of God, in a very real sense, it is the truth. It's the Word of God. But, you know, interrogate the Scriptures. As you read the Word of God, once again, just think, Lord, what can I extrapolate from here? What can I apply to my life? Like for me this morning, just that one verse, verse 27, I said, man, this is so clear. This is, if I'm a Christian and really believe the Bible, I should have no confusion over this whole gay thing. Because God just said He made man in His own image, male and female. So that's my worldview. That's how I see it. I don't care what else I hear or what else I read. It's all filtered first through Genesis 1:27. Am I making sense to you this morning? That's how to be. So I'm blessed now in my thinking as it relates to that whole arena. And then once again, we still pray for those in that group and try to love them compassionately, but share with them the truth. So in 2017, less mess and more blessed. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Somebody said the B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Listen to Psalms 119, which is a wonderful passage that talks about the greatness of the Word of God. Psalms 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? by taking heed according to God's word. You can keep your way pure by just spending time in God's word. The psalmist asked God a question in Psalms 119:18. You might want to read it later. Psalms 119:18. He asked God a question. He says, Lord, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes. That's a great way to go into your Bible study. Say, Lord, open my eyes today. Don't let me just read this. Am I the only one guilty? I'm just reading through the scripture. And next thing I know, I've read a couple of paragraphs and I don't even know what I just read. Am I the only one that does that? I'm like, my mind way over on something else. Lord, forgive me. Let me go back up to verse 2. I'm down here on verse 20. Let me go back up to verse 2 and start reading again. Say, Lord, give me spiritual focus and concentration as I'm in the word of God. Because we're in a spiritual warfare. Just like when you begin to pray, oftentimes, I'm just telling you, in 2017, if you didn't experience it in 2016, oftentimes when you say, I'm going to study, I'm going to take out my Bible, all kind of other stuff start happening. All kind of interruptions start happening. The enemy doesn't want you to be on your knees and open up the word of God. So you said, Lord, open up my eyes that I might see and learn wondrous things from you in your word. Psalmist said in Psalms 119, listen to this. Here's the word blessed again. Remember, blessed means having that deep joy and deep commitment from the Lord. Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. If you want to leave here today, if you don't grab anything else out of this message this morning, you can leave here today knowing that you will be blessed if you just walk in the way of the Lord. If you just walk in the law of the Lord, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Look at the byproduct. Look at what comes out of being a blessed person. Look what comes from blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, he meditates day and night. Look at this. Look at what's going to happen. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree. Somebody say tree. A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So if you're not listening to ungodly counsel, if you're not doing what sinners are doing, and if you're spending time in the word of God, God says your life will be stable. Your life will have some stability. I mentioned this on our prayer line just the other day, so I, of course, definitely won't mention their names. But I'm kind of at one level or another dealing with three guys right now. Three guys I'm kind of trying to, in a sense, minister to. And their lives are very, very unstable. And so even as I ponder that, because I'm just talking about as we live out this Christian life, experientially, I said, I know why one of the reasons their life is very unstable is because they're not doing what verse 1 and 2 says to do. So it really, really shouldn't surprise me if I try to call this one brother and I call him 1 week, he got one phone number. I call him 2 weeks later, he got another phone number. I call him 2 months later, he got a third phone number. Brother, how can I get in? What number do you have? Life just unstable, just unstable. I mean, there's nothing wrong with changing the phone number every now and then, but five numbers in 6 weeks, that's a record. Just unstable. But the word of God says, if you're spending time with me, your life will be stable. You have a life of stability. Look at the imagery there. It says like a tree firmly planted by the rivers of water. A tree needs nourishment. A tree needs a good root system. So a tree, the roots go down deep and it finds what it needs. It brings up water and those things. And if it's a good root system, the tree will flourish. So the psalmist is saying that you and me, we got to have a good root system. Our roots got to go deep down into the Lord himself. Our roots got to go deep down into Jesus himself. Our root system has to go deep down into the Holy Spirit himself. Our root system has to go deep down into the word of God itself. And when it does, we will bear some fruit. Jesus said it better than I. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you hang out with me, if you spend time with me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So, beloved, we got to spend some Jesus time. A guy told me this in the airport once. I was traveling a few years ago, and I was talking to this young brother I met, and we began to talk, and he was a Christian. And he was just saying, he said, yeah, man, I got to go spend some face time with the Lord. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I got to go pray. I got to spend some face time with the Lord. For our root system to really bring the nourishments up that it needs, we got to spend some time with the Lord, some quality time. I don't know what that looks like for you, but whatever it looks like for you, give God the choices available time in your life. If that's in the morning, give him some morning time. If that's at lunchtime, give him some lunchtime. If that's right after work, in the evening, give him some evening time. If that's late night, give him some late night time. But whatever those choices moments are, that you are fresh, that you are really open to hear from the Lord, you and I need to be before the Lord. We need to have a good root system. I said, we need to have a good root system. You know, we need to go down deep with the Lord. You know, God gives us all we need. He's given us his son, right? He's given us his spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us, right? He's given us his word, the word of God, right? And then he's also given us each other, the people of God. So we got all that we need. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You can't be talking about, well, I'm a Christian, but I would grow some more, but I need this, that, and that. Now, God says, I've given you all you need. I've given you my son, my spirit, my word, my people. You and I got all we need to grow. If we don't grow this year as a Christian, if we don't grow this year as a church, spiritually especially, we can't blame anybody else. Well, it was so-and-so fault. That's why I didn't grow this year. No, no, it was your fault. Just look in the mirror and say, it was my fault. I didn't grow this year. It was my fault. So God gives us all that we need. And watch this. He gives us food. He gives us clothes. He gives us shelter. He gives us transportation. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us a job. He gives us invaluable relationship. He gives us salvation. He's given us wisdom, victory over strongholds, deliverance, a way out of temptation. He controls our tongues. He gives us all that we need. So in 2017, once again, let your roots go deep down in the Lord. Go deep down in your, go deeper in your relationship with the Lord. Wherever you are now, spiritually, set some spiritual goals. Take out a little pad. Jot some things down this year that you want to do that maybe perhaps last year you were kind of lax in last year. I mean, make some spiritual goals. Say, Lord, I want to read a little more in my Bible. Lord, I want to share my faith a little more. Lord, I want to be more focused on making disciples. Lord, I want to be more about what you have called us as Christians to do, rather than just kind of living this Christian life, just going day by day by day by day, kind of mundane. Like, now I say, Lord, what do you want me to do this year that I didn't do last year? And watch this. As long as it's Christ and as long as it's something he wants you to do, he's going to help you to do it. I say, he's going to help you to do it. I mean, when he gives you a vision, he also gives provision. Wherever he guides, he also provides. He does. So in 2017, I said, Lord, I want to be closer to you. Not only will you be stable as you take God's advice in verses 1 and 2, but not only that, look, that verse also says you will be fruitful, productive. You know, you said, Lord, I want to be fruitful in the kingdom of God this year, more fruitful. Lord, I want to be productive and fruitful. You said, Lord, I want to be fruitful on my job. Lord, I want to be productive and fruitful in my marriage. Lord, I want to be productive and fruitful in my singleness. Lord, I want to be productive and fruitful as a student or as an athlete or whatever it might be. And then verse 3 also says, you will be the blessed person, the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, the person who spends time meditating on God and his word day and night. You're going to be planted like a tree. You're going to be stable and you're going to bring forth this fruit season. Fruit bearing is seasonal. I said fruit bearing is seasonal. That's one of the trying things that challenges me as you talk about trying to mentor or disciple other people. Oftentimes, and you need to ask the Lord, you know, be wise to God, where would you have me to pour into people's lives and all that. But this seasonal thing kind of gets me sometimes, because sometimes you can spend an inordinate amount of time with a particular person and you don't see any fruit. You don't see any growth. You say, Lord, when is their season of growth going to come? But this fruit bearer is seasonal. And sometimes, let's reflect, look in the mirror, in our own lives. If you've been saved any amount of time, our spiritual growth is usually not like, you know, this is starting point and just straight arrow, straight up. No, it's usually kind of squiggly and might drop back a little bit and go up a little bit. So even in our own lives, sometimes if we're honest, our own lives, sometimes our own spiritual growth is kind of seasonal. Sometimes it seems like, man, we just running with the Lord and we full speed. And other times, like, we just kind of coasting along. It's seasonal. He said, you will bear fruit, though, in your season. But I have a problem with people who say they're followers of Christ and never bear any fruit at all. Something is wrong somewhere. As an old saying goes, it's a dead cat on the line somewhere. Because Jesus said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you just abide in me and I in you, you will bear, Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. That's what Jesus said. So we ought to be bearing some fruit. Now, some of our fruit might be kind of sour, might be a little like a, you know, kind of shriveled up like a prune. Somebody might have great luscious fruit. But we should be bearing some fruit, right? Yeah, the psalmist says, you will bear fruit in your season. And as I hasten on, he said, also your leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. So not only will you be fruitful and stable, but also you will be prosperous. And once again, that's one of those words we don't have to run away from. People have often kind of misused it maybe. But if you're a child of God, you will be prospering in many ways. Not necessarily always financially, but or materially. But you will be prospering, once again, in your relationship with him. Just give me joy. Give me the joy of the Lord. Give me the peace of God. And you know, all that other stuff, I can handle whatever else comes. I mean, because there have been times, you know, I can think back. There have been times when my pocket was full of money, but I didn't have any joy, any peace. I'll take the reverse. I'll take the joy and the peace, and I can have some empty pockets. I'll come and ask you for a dollar or two. Is that all right? Just give me joy and peace. So the psalmist says, though, so that you will be barren. Now, sometimes as we look toward following the Lord closely and being a blessed person, sometimes you have to cut some stuff loose. Maybe a certain crowd, maybe some certain so-called friends, or maybe you might have got to cut into some of that TV time, or maybe you got to maybe a certain type of music or radio station or something. That you let me just be very transparent. I used to love to listen to WNOO 1260, then the FM 107.3. But I must be honest now, and Steve Harvey, he's a funny guy and all that good stuff. But sometimes I flip over there now and some of the logic I hear coming out of his mouth is very ungodly. I'm like, now this guy professed to be a Christian now, but that stuff he's saying, that's some worldly thinking. I'm not saying everything he says is world, but I'm thinking, man, that's some worldly stuff he's saying. I think my station's going to clip over there from time. It's going to skip over that one a little more now. You got to be careful who you listen to. You got to be careful who you let feed stuff into your mind, your thought processes. Got kind of quiet. It got kind of quiet for me. Quick recap. You can be blessed just by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. You can be blessed by not hanging out with sinners and doing what they are doing. You can be blessed by getting your pleasure from reading, studying, and obeying the word of God and meditating on the word of God, pondering the Lord and his word. And as you do that, you will be stable. As you do that, you will be productive and bearing fruit. And as you do that, you will be prosperous. So that's the way of the righteous. That's the good road. Let's look briefly at the bad road, verses 4-6. And I'll spend less time on that. Verse 4-6, brother says, but the ungodly are not so. See, the godly, look at the godly, I just highlighted. Look at the godly got it going on. The blessed person, the prosperous person, following the Lord, following his precepts, spending time with him. They got it going on. But look, the ungodly are not so. Look at the contrast. Either godly or ungodly. Listen to this. Even as a Christian, we can still do some ungodly stuff. So don't just say, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm definitely godly. Well, no, you can be saved, but still sometimes do some ungodly stuff. The ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Their life is not stable. Their life is not productive. Their life is not prosperous. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now, every time I see a verse like that, every time I see that verse, I can't help but to think about those little dandelions. that pop up in your yard. As a little kid, I used to love to go pick them up, Brother Bray, and then I would blow them, you know, kind of like a little white afro. That's what I call them, the white afros. Or gray afros. And you blow them and they just go everywhere, right? So it is with the ungodly. Their lives are just unstable. They're like that dandelion. They're like the white afro. You just blow, and their lives are just all over the place, Sister Penny. Their life is not like that. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. And then look at this. It gets even more serious. Because that's just kind of like their earthly condition is going to be messed up here on earth. They're going to have a lot of mess boxes. 2016, 2014, 2012, just 2018, they're going to have a lot of mess boxes. That's on earth. But watch this. If they're ungodly and not following Christ, it says, therefore, verse 5, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, when we die, all of us are going to die unless the rapture occurs. When we die, there are two judgments. There are two judgments. One, 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5, 10, tells about the judgment seat of Christ. As a Christian, you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then that's not a judgment trying to say, are you going to get into heaven or not? By being a Christian, we are the redeemed of God. We got a place in heaven. That's a good place to say a loud amen. We got a place in heaven, but our works will be judged. We will be judged before the Lord as Christians. But then there's another judgment. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 19 or 20. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, where those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are not saved, those who are doing ungodly stuff and walking with the ungodly, those who aren't redeemed, those who aren't saved, those who are not born again, they will be at that judgment. They will be at that judgment. And the Bible said the books will be open and shown all their works, and then they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, you don't want to be in that judgment. You don't want to be in that judgment. But verse 5, this person who has said, forget God, forget Jesus, forget the Bible, I'm just going to do my own thing. This person in verse 5 has said that, and they are going to be in that judgment. They are not going to stand in the congregation of the righteous. And then verse 6 goes on and says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. In case we just missed it, the way of the ungodly, if you're living ungodly, if you don't know Jesus, if you're just doing your own thing, just living your own life, the Bible just said, you're going to perish. And that doesn't mean being consumed. That means eternal damnation. That means an eternity being spent in a place called the lake of fire. That means being in a place that out of Luke, when Jesus talked about the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, he lived his life however he wanted to live it. He didn't give God and give Jesus any time. He wasn't a Christian. He just lived his life however. And then there was another man, a beggar in that text that Jesus was talking about, who loved the Lord, who loved Christ. And when they died, they both died. And the rich man ended up in hell. Matter of fact, he looked over to heaven. That was part of his torment. I get to look into heaven and saw the poor man Lazarus. And he said, hey, please, our father Abraham, let him come in. Just give me a little water for my tongue. He said, no, you can't do that. There's a great chasm fixed between heaven and hell. Once we leave here, beloved, it's too late. Then that's why I can't get some folks and even some Catholics still believing in purgatory and die and praying for the dead. Now once a person, the Bible says it's appointed to man wants to die and then the judgment. It's too late then. After a person dies, they've already made their decision. After a person dies, so this ungodly person, verse 5 and verse 6 says that they're gonna end up in hell. But talking about 2017 and to the child of God, to the saint, verse 6 give us some comforting, very comforting words. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Let me kind of amplify this word "no" just a little bit. God knows everything, right? I mean, God knows the way of the righteous and unrighteous. I mean, God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what we're going to think even before we think it. This word know here in this text, it speaks to intimacy. It speaks to, it's very similar. It's very similar to like when Mary, you know, as I preached a couple of weeks ago, when the angel told Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary said, wait a minute, Gabriel, you know, I don't know a man. I'm still a virgin. So it's kind of in that context. So God is saying, he knows us intimately. He knows you and me personally. He has our mother-in-law. He has a close relationship with us. He knows us in a very intimate type of way. So our God, who is holy and mighty, our God, who is all powerful, our God, who created and spoke everything into existence, our awesome and mighty God has a personal relationship with you and with me. Oh, I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. That just sometimes I'm just driving down the highway, and I know folks might think I'm crazy. I'm just driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, I just start waving my hand or something. God has a relationship, a personal relationship with me, with you, the Redeemer God. He knows us. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. So in 2017, said no more mess or less mess anyway, and you want to be blessed. Psalms 1. You want to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't want to stand in the path of sinners. You don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful, but you want to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Let me quickly tell this story. I can't think of the guy's name. True story. In the Olympics. I think it was in about the 92 Olympics. It was this young man who was running. I think he was running 400 meters, I believe. And he had trained hard, and he was really good. A really, really, really great, athlete. But happened in that particular race in the Olympics. Now in the Olympics, he's running his 400 meter race, and he was going around. I think it was about his second Olympics or something like that, but he was going around and he was doing well. Matter of fact, it appeared as though he was going to win the race. I think it was the 92 Olympics. It appeared as though he was going to win the race. And lo and behold, he pulled up. He pulled his hamstring. And he literally fell down on the track. And so everybody else, kept on going. They went on, and the race went on out. And so finally, as he was there on the track, there was somebody sitting up in the stands. Just a commonly dressed guy sitting up in the stands. And he began to come down out of the stands. And of course the security guards, they kind of tried to stop him and all that, but he kind of rushed on past the security guards, and he got to the guy that had fallen on the track. True story. Who had fallen on the track. The guy who had come from the stands, grabbed the guy on the track. The guy who had come down from the, I'm just talking about God knowing the way of the righteous. The guy who had come down out of the stands and grabbed the guy on the track. The guy who had come down out of the stands was his father. And he picked up his son. He said, son, we're going to finish this race. And he and his son hobbled on across the finish line. Beloved, as we go through 2017, you and I, we're going to pull a hamstring every now and then. You and I, we're going to make a little bad step here or there. Dare I say, we might even make a little mess or even sin. But God said we can confess our sin and he will cleanse us. We're going to stumble sometimes. We're going to stumble a lot and trying to do the right thing, meaning well, like with good intention, but still mess up because we're human. We mess up sometimes. But when we stumble, when we fall, it's good to know that we have a heavenly father who knows us, who's sitting up in the stands, and he can come down on the track with us and grab us and still help us on a cross the finish line. And won't he do it? He can do it. He can help us on across the finish line because he is our heavenly father who knows the way of the righteous. So in 2017, as you set your goals, your spiritual goals, your goals on your job, your family goals, your financial goals, whatever they might be, say, Lord, help me. Help me in these endeavors. Give me wisdom. Give me strength to run strong this Christian race in 2017. And if we're blessed to see the end of this year, probably we can look back over 2017 and say, Lord, I did grow closer to you this year than last year. I was more blessed because I had more of your intimacy, more of your contentment, more of your joy, more of your peace. I was more obedient this year than last year. I impacted more people's lives this year because of what you were doing even through me than I did last year. Let that be your prayer. Let that be our prayer this year. And next, we got to give us a prayer as a church. Let us pray. Father, we indeed do want to experience you